Good morning, cutie. I hope that you're having a lovely weekend. Today I'm opting for an audio resource because it's going to be a bit more open, less scripted, a bit more free form, because essentially my thoughts and feelings on this topic are evolving and not solidified yet. But I would love for it to be a dialogue of sorts. I'd love to know your opinions and reactions. You can leave them in the comments on the Patreon post or direct message me or email me. So I was asked this week, you know, what do we do essentially when two or more partners have the same traits that might be setting off a reaction in us, when partners are doubling the struggle, so to speak? You know, first I sat with this and I was thinking about how it's the flip side, it's the inverse of the idea that multiple relationships should be supplementary. A lot of times, shifting out of monogamy, it can be more palatable or seen as even more socially permissible to say, well, in this monogamous relationship, I can't get something. They're not able to offer me the emotional support I want. They don't want the kind of sex that I want, you know, fill in the blank. So I do see the acknowledgement of something that a dynamic can't give you as a valid entryway into exploring non-monogamy, right? But I don't think it's great to stay in that mindset, because I do think it's an extension of, you know, one partner should be our everything. Well, now two partners should be our everything, or three partners should be our everything. And it can almost treat dating like a shopping list. And, you know, we're looking for compartmentalized dynamic. You know, it's not always so cold, it's not always so explicit, but I think it can sneak in like, oh, you know, I'm looking for this kind of sex. Okay, great, you offer me this kind of sex. And it can close our minds or our eyes to what could be possible, including duplicates of nice experiences, right? Like, when we are viewing relationships in this way, I think it's still rooted in like a mononormative zero-sum game idea. I think it can encourage competition between metamors, you know, if they offer you similar experiences or if they have similar traits, right? As if they can't coexist in your life, but absolutely they can, you know. It is, I think, counter to the idea of abundance. Not that I'm above that, not that I haven't definitely done that, and can easily fall back into the trap of dating like a monogamous person with a checklist of things that I would like to prioritize, you know. I think it's just a matter of keeping in check the idea that a relationship must be limited to the supplementary experience we're hoping to get, right? So, you know, going to this idea of the inverse of the supplementary, you know, when you have multiple partners with personality traits that trigger you, or all, they both have the same bad habit that you wished your partner wouldn't do, and now you've got two people doing it, you know? And I think it can kind of open up this bigger question of, what do romantic partners owe us? For example, I am an anxious person. That tends to be how I relate to romantic connections. And I often am drawn to people who are more avoidant. And that can be really frustrating if there are several people who are not able to offer me the reassurance that I seek when I am feeling anxiety. However, I think it's fair in those times to set boundaries around what we build with those people, right? So maybe I would never really want to cohabitate with, or build a business with, or raise a child with a partner who has that trait, because I see that there's no impetus for romantic love to fit any particular trajectory, right? And so if the only way I feel secure with a chronically avoidant person is to keep them in a less integrated position in my life, then maybe all of those people stay less integrated for now. You know, if time management is something that everybody struggles with, maybe I only make plans with those people that can allow for flexibility and lenience in time. It's in essence saying, I accept these romantic partners as they are, and I will integrate them into my life to the extent that I feel is sustainable. To that end, you know, if there is dissatisfaction that, you know, we do have a priority right now that we want to build a specific kind of relationship, and all of the people we're seeing aren't suited for that role or those roles, maybe we negotiate deprioritizing time with them so that we can keep meeting other people and keep looking for the person who might fill that role or the people who might fill those roles, you know? So I definitely encourage negotiating that proactively. Like, don't just dial back how much you're seeing them and not tell them what's in your mind, you know? As well, if they protest to the idea that they might not fill that role, then that could be an opportunity, like I said, to negotiate a different way of relating to each other, different terms, like do some trial and error. That is different than demanding a partner change. If they want to be with us in a different way, we invite them to evolve, right, with us. Like, that's their choice, you know, if that is a priority. I did that with the partner that I currently live with. He is terrible with time management for a lot of years, and I really struggled with waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, you know, for him to arrive. And finally, it got to a head where I just felt completely not safe. And I said, okay, well, you know what? I'm not trying to change you. I ain't your mama. Like, but, you know, if this is how it's going to be, I would like to just see you less. And I might want to, like, not need as much from you, you know, because then I'm not resenting you for something that you aren't giving me if I just try to not want that thing from you anymore, you know? And that was unacceptable to him. He felt very distraught that we weren't spending as much time together as we were beforehand. And he started to make some changes, you know, but that was because he desired that. And then I started to feel more secure with him. I was like, oh, wow, I see you doing this differently. Like, it's not that that has completely vanished from his personality, but I've gotten a lot more relaxed and he's gotten a lot more focused on, you know, follow through. And so we've met more in the middle and it's found sustainability because that's what we decided we wanted to do together. And it wasn't approached like an ultimatum, like you have to behave differently because, yeah, I don't think I'm that powerful to demand a partner change in that way. You know, maybe somebody makes a change for a week or two, but if it's not a desire within them to make a change, then I don't really see that as being a long-term change, right? So yeah, in times like these, I also encourage people to look at their non-romantic relationships because we usually already have experience with several different close friends who have similar personality traits, right? Like, it's very probable because we know the type of people we get along with that we find ourselves drawn to several of them and a lot of our friends are similar, right? And that absolutely happens with romantic relationships. So, but it's only ever with romantic relationships that we put this pressure to not accept a perceived shortcoming. And, you know, this is abuse notwithstanding. Of course, abuse is always unacceptable. I don't think we should find a way to tolerate or endure abuse. But, you know, if it's something like time management or avoidance or anxious attachment, or, you know, if it's something that seems to be an incompatibility in our relationship's current form, we can discuss finding a way that our relationship might be compatible. What do we want to keep and what might need to be discarded if nothing were to change? So yeah, I suppose my point is that I don't really see a whole lot of differentiation between how we treat incompatibilities in non-romantic love versus how we treat incompatibilities in romantic love, right? Like, I don't think because it's a romantic connection that they owe us change necessarily, but rather we can change the terms of our relationship, and that can, I don't know, be a bit more peaceful and help us see everything that they do offer us and not focus as much on the lack. Anyway, like I said, this is not scripted. I hope it is coherent, but I found it to be a really compelling question that was asked this week, and I agreed to speak to that this week. And I imagine that as I continue to sit with this topic, it will solidify more. But I would love to hear your experiences on any of the above. And I would love to know how it is that you navigate multiple stressors that are mirrored across multiple partners. I'm sending you so much love. I hope you have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.